Hey guys, welcome to the show. I love history. I hope you like history. If you do like history, check out the Historic Ballers podcast with me, Uncle Dust. I've had about three or four episodes. You can find it on Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you listen to. We got the last Shah of Iran, who threw a $500 million three-day party that led to an Islamic revolution in 1971. John Jacob Astor, slept-on baller, who later would build the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Also, opium smuggler to China. Some people would say that's why we're in the middle of an opiate epidemic, like they waited 100 years to pump fentanyl over here. That's neither here nor there. I don't care what you believe. He also was a fur trade salesman, NYC landlord. We also did Andrew Carnegie, $418 billion, if you're keeping track of numbers. That was episode number two. Number one, Cornelius Commodore Vanderbilt. Railroad ball out, man. I love history. I hope you guys join me. Follow along, man. Join the Discord. Original Wiggas. We don't have a Discord yet for this podcast particular, but you can join at Original Wiggas, WHIGGAZ on Discord, man. And throw me some ideas or join patreon.com/firecrotch. Yeah, firecrotch, dude. I got red hair. Some girl called me firecrotch when I was a kid. It stuck. I like it. You know, support the show there. You produce the show. Put your money where your mouth is, man. Everything helps. I'll tell you that. I don't know where else you're going to get a buck. You know, you can put whatever you want on there. It's only a dollar, though, man. So consider that. Today, again, because my man Shat Radio is the man, and he is going to Skankfest, and I don't know if I'm going to go out there, and I might just go out and hang out in Vegas. I can't afford $200 a day, but I hope everybody has a good time. Sounds like a great time. Sounds like the best comedy festival in the world. That probably will go down in history. I mean, it's phenomenal. All your favorite comedians are going to be there. You know, Big J, the Skanks, the Dogs, Matt and Shane Gillis, and then all the Gas Digital guys. I'm sure there'll be pop-ins from Louis C.K. and all the big names, Bobby Kelly, and all your favorites. So, you know, support that if you can. And but today, you don't have to have money to be a baller. Sometimes it can just be through the grace of God or your horoscope or whatever you believe in, okay? The shake of the dice. You can get put through experiences and you come out of the other end going, ah, damn, that was baller. I mean, this is a baller story. I hope you enjoy it. I did. I can't stop smiling when I'm researching this bad boy. And it's just wild. All right. Let's just get into it. We got all that out the way. All right. We're dealing with here Miss Betty Lou Oliver, guys. Okay. This is, as you can see, this fine lady. Looks like she's recovering. So, spoiler alert, she lives. As you can see, this is a hole in the side of the Empire State Building. On July 28th, 1945, Betty arrives at the Empire State Building, where she worked as an elevator attendant. This was back in the day, you know, when you had a crankshaft, everybody got in there, and they're going up there to make a lot of loot, you know, they give you, you know, hopefully you heard a stock tip, but most likely you were probably, you know, hopefully pulling a guy off to get a rate. That's terrible. And there's going to be a lot of comedy, guys, so just enjoy, okay? If you're sensitive, you know where to go. It was all set up to be just another ordinary day at work for the 20-year-old. Little did she realize, oh, man. I just forgot. We got to drop this one time. I don't know why. We have to play this. Living in Reseda, there's a freeway. Run through the yard, and I'm a bad boy. Cause I don't even miss her, I'm a bad boy. For breaking her heart. All right. why, guys. Because she did free fall 70 floors and live. It was all set up just to be another ordinary day at work for the 20-year-old. Little did she realize that the foggy conditions outside would turn her world upside down. It was in the final months of World War II, and a B-25 service bomber was embarking on a basic mission, which involved bringing servicemen from Massachusetts to LaGuardia Airport in New York City. The pilot was vastly experienced, Captain William Smith, who had led some of the war's most dangerous missions. By the time Smith had arrived in New York, the fog had significantly reduced visibility. Smith contacted LaGuardia and requested permission to land. He was advised not to land, and according to the writer of The Sky is Falling, a book about the events of a fateful day, Arthur Weingarten, Smith ignored the order and made a turn that brought him over Midtown Manhattan. You think this guy's been fighting goddamn Nazis? He didn't have time for this hogwash. It appears as if Smith became disorientated by the fog, and rather than turning left at the Chrysler Building like he should have, who wouldn't, Smith turned right and was now directly among the city's skyscrapers. At the time, the Empire State Building was the tallest in the world, and Smith crashed between the 78th and 80th floors. Smith, the two crew members on board, and 11 people in the building died. Search crews did not find Smith's body for 2 days as it went through an elevator shaft and was at the bottom, so he also tumbled 80 floors, did not live, unballer-like. I mean, trying to wing it, though, and telling the air crew that, hey, I got this, no big whoop, would have been baller. And I'm sure he balled out a lot of days if we looked into it. There was probably days where he balled out, man, killing Nazis. Inside, there was chaos as shocked employees tried to flee as soon as possible. According to Therese Fortier Willig, who worked on the 79th floor, she could see nothing but flames. She described the horrific spectacle of seeing a man named Mr. Fountain catch fire. The impact of the crash was felt throughout the building. On the 50th, oh my God, Mr. Fountain's on fires! I don't know why it's a black lady. On the 56th floor, Gloria Paul said it felt as if the building was about to topple over. Despite being over 20 floors from the impact, it was strong enough to throw her across the room. When the plane crashed, parts of the engine flew into the building and weakened the cables of a pair of elevators on the 79th floor. This action ensured that Betty had a day she would never forget, as she cheated death twice in the space of minutes. At the moment that Captain Smith crashed the plane into the Empire State Building, Betty Lou Oliver was working on the 80th floor as an elevator attendant. The crash caused her to be thrown out of her vehicle and as well as suffering from severe burns. Betty had a broken pelvis. Ooh, my pelvis be hurting. Back and neck. There were terrible injuries, but it was clear that Betty would survive as first aid workers helped her and placed her on an elevator to the ground floor. Soon she would be driven to the hospital for probably. You imagine seeing that B-52 just smoking in, and then you're alive, and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to live, and you're already going through the worst trauma of your life. I mean, allegedly. This is all allegedly. I mean, this is the early 1900s. I mean, I guess she could have been an orphan. She could have been in the sex trade that wasn't saved yet by Mel Gibson and his Sound of Freedom. Maybe she didn't hear the Sound of Freedom. That's allegedly, guys. Meanwhile, Willig was still in shock over what happened on the 79th floor. In the immediate aftermath of the crash, she was certain it was all over for everyone on the floor. Speaking years later, Willig described it as a small universe, as it was akin to being stuck on a small island surrounded by fire. While someone had managed to open a window and Willig used a handkerchief to protect her from the smoke, several women passed out from the fumes. At some point, a man named Paul Daring jumped as he panicked in the aftermath of the fire. Unballer-like conduct, dude. Throw the fucking flag right there. Unless he hit a swan dive into a jackknife into a belly flop before he landed, which every jumper should do at least to entertain the crowd before they're thrown into their own trauma. And I think we can all learn a lesson there after Paul Derrick here. Willig was so sure that her time on Earth was over that she took the rings off her fingers and threw them out the window. This could have been an elaborate plan because she was cheating on her bow and might have maybe had a gangbang in the elevator, and she's just trying to, you know, maybe she threw her own self. Maybe she set the whole thing up. Maybe this was fucking, maybe she was like ISIS, dude, or George Bush, or the many other people in conspiracies in 9/11. Fortunately, her fears were groundless because firemen arrived on the scene and rescued all the survivors. Paul later admitted that she had no idea what happened 23 floors up until she was out of the building and saw the tail of a B-25 bomber sticking out of the building. It appeared as if the worst was over, and it was, except for Betty Lou Oliver. Whew. Guys, this is intense, guys. Okay, guys? We're talking about a bad day here, guys. I don't know what kind of bad days you guys got. I mean, I've gotten fired before from Universal Studios as a security guard. I can tell you right now, that was nothing compared to Betty Lou. Also was arrested in the Navy three times. Three-time convicted against the Military Board of Military Conduct. I had disciplinary review boards, stood in front of, you know, lieutenant commanders and XOs, executive officers of ships. Been sent to the brig. I'll take that every day, repeated over and over. The rescuers had placed Betty on a stretcher and put her in an elevator on the 79th floor. We're just going to take this elevator now. No big whoop. Only a B-25 bomber crash into the building. No, that's not even don't even worry about the structure, you know, the structural situation. We got to get these people down. And who's going to walk 79 floors? I mean, she looks like a little lady, but I mean, who knows what she ate for lunch? We don't know. That's all allegedly. The rescuers had placed her on a stretcher. Unfortunately, they didn't know the cables had weakened in the crash. As soon as they placed Betty on the elevator, the cables snapped. As soon as they placed her on the elevator. So nobody... What happened to the guy that went in with her? I guess we're going to find out. The cables snapped. Betty started to hurl down towards the bottom of the elevator shaft. This is fucking Die Hard, bro. She basically was the original Die Hard. Maybe she's gonna throw a bomb. Now I have a machine gun. Her entire life must surely have passed before her eyes as the elevator rocketed towards the ground. This is in detail. In a few seconds, she would be dead at just 20 years of age. Oh, to be young again, with no opportunity to achieve any of her goals in life, nor would she see her husband again. Married early. Remarkably, Betty survived her second ordeal today with an extraordinary amount of luck by all accounts. The elevator plunged a total of 75 stories, dude. I mean, when you're a kid and you go in the elevator and you're goofing around and you're jumping up and down as it's falling down to get that little sexy feeling in your belly. You get that little, ooh, my little belly, ooh. I mean, it has to be intense over 75 stories. But I guess as you're going that fast, maybe your guts go up a little bit so that when you do hit the ground, maybe your guts aren't as much. And I don't know if her broken back broke or fall. It could have been. Or her pelvis. Either one of those. Maybe it's extra water because it's liquefied. Approximately 1,000 feet. So in reality, Betty shouldn't have survived. You don't say. As it transpired, the 1,000 feet of elevator cable had broken away and fallen to the bottom of the shaft before Betty landed. By the time she landed, the cable was there to provide a softer landing surface. I mean, soft. They could use a different word there. I don't think that Betty would use that word. If Betty were alive right now and we asked her how'd that feel when she landed, I don't think she'd say softer than... Wouldn't that have to be a professional elevator faller that had fallen multiple times to use that sentence? The rapid compression of air also added to the cushion. Oh, these guys is real smartsies. Although they are more fun ways to end up in the Guinness Book of Records, Betty's name was added for the unlikely feat of longest survived elevator fall. Baller, dude. Breaking records. Oh, how many hot dogs did you eat? You know how many fucking floors Betty fell? She's got it made, dude. She can ball out at the Guinness Book of Records after parties. A record she still holds today. Is that on her grave? Guinness Book of World Record holder? It was an incredible escape, but what became of Betty Lou Oliver? Good question. Betty suffered further serious injuries from her fall and was eventually cut from the mangled wreckage. It took her 8 months to recover fully, and just to make matters worse, July 28th was supposed to be her last day on the job. Jesus fucking criminy Christies, dude. Damn. Everybody quit their fucking job right now. If I was fucking superstitious. Damn, bro. And she probably gave her fucking resignation for her shitty elevator job. You know, walked in. I don't even know. Did they do a month? I mean, 2 weeks notice seems like short back then. They probably gave like 6 month notice. The story truly is like something from a cliched Hollywood script. Just 5 months later, while still recovering, Betty returned to the scene with an elevator inspector who was astonished at her guts for agreeing to travel in an elevator after this fucking dog brain fucking floozy, dude. As well as claiming the lives of 14 people, the Empire State Building crash caused $1 million worth of damage, $13 million today, including the destruction nearby penthouse art studio. The car. I like how they didn't list any of the people that died. What about everybody on the plane? They're listing this monetary shit. What about fucking Bilbo Baggins and fucking Steve Artwright? What about the military guys that were on the plane that didn't sign up for that shit, for the captain to be playing fucking super captain? This guy thought he was fucking landing in the Hudson. Fucking thought he was Captain Sully. Oh, the carnage would have been much worse had the firemen not reacted. Well, thanks for thanking the firemen. At least they put that in here. Incredibly, they extinguished the fire in just 40 minutes. And you're telling me 9/11, they couldn't have saved the buildings? I mean, it is. And was it, there was no warheads on the plane? I mean, I'm not a military specialist. I guess maybe they were disarmed if there were. I guess they'd argue. Or that somebody would argue that. I seen a guy argue that the birds ain't real. Maybe he didn't tell me the missiles aren't real. Is that a conspiracy? Is it still the biggest major fire to have ever been brought under control at such a height? Oh, they got cocky on this one. That's probably what happened. They got cocky. And then when the World Trade happened the first time, you know, the fucking bomb goes off in the, what is it, in the, like the lobby or out front. And then 9/11 happens and they just go, dude, we got this, man. We fucking, Betty Lou, bitches be falling. Bitches be fucking free falling, son. Bitches be fucking free falling. I wanna be free, free. I wonder if she was a jokester and put on Tom Petty free falling at the parties and shit. God damn, dude. How fucking fun is that? Although the crash shocked the nation, the bombing of Hiroshima a week later garnered most of the media spot. You don't say. An attack on the country superseded a pussy attack, I might say. A fucking, only a sissy would fucking, oh, bomb Pearl Harbor. I was going to say, well, the bombing of Hiroshima way out. Literally. I mean, I bet there was a rice shortage after that. Despite the crash and subsequent fire, which happened on Saturday, the building was open for business on numerous floors on Monday. Fucking America, dude. I love this shit. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. That's corporations at the bed. That's big business at work, son. Mainly because the Empire State Building, you've seen a plane fly into the thing. They, like today, they'd have fucking camp counselors out there canceling bitches, psychotherapists out there, motherfuckers having sex changes and shit because of it. Mainly because the Empire State Building did not suffer any structural, allegedly. I mean, they also thought the elevators were going to fucking work. I mean, what genius made that call? 8 months later, the U.S. government offered money to the families of the victims. Huh. What? They didn't say how much. What is it? $100? Here's $100. Here's some rations, son. And this is during the war. We just bombed Hiroshima, so the war's over. You can get gas twice a week instead of once in a week. Ration jokes are fun. That's what you get with this podcast. You're going to get old-timey jokes, guys. While some accepted it and moved on, the others filed a lawsuit that ultimately led to the implementation of the Federal Tort Claims Act of 1946. Jesus, jumping Jehoshaphat. So I guess that says if any military plane flies into a civilian and the captain's a straight egomaniac, I can should have banked a left next to the fucking Hudson. They get some cashola. Betty Lou's life. Betty was married at the time of the accident, and once she recovered 8 months later, she returned to Fort Smith in Arizona to live with her husband, Oscar Lee. Despite suffering horrific injuries, we're not aware of any long-term physical... Did you ask her husband? I mean, is he really able to blow that back out? I mean, even for the minute... Did anybody have sex longer than 5 minutes back then? There's another guy we're going to do on Historical Baller, Schlitt. And he basically brought condoms to the masses. And it was pig. They were using, you know, pig intestine. And then basically he's using Goodyear tire fucking rubber. Because it was illegal when he was selling condoms on the streets of NYC in the early 1900s. It was contraceptive and birth control was illegal still. So he was doing it in the back alleys. But helped a lot of GIs in Britain, because the U.S., when the war started, he didn't want to, he called. He called even though it was still illegal. Anyway, we'll get into that at a different time. Very interesting. What we know is that she had 3 children with Oscar Lee and a total of 7 grandchildren. Her husband died in 1986, and according to her obituary, Betty died in Fort Smith, Arizona on November 24th, 1999. She was 74 years of age. The events of the Empire State Building crash helped inspire the beginning of Hal Efron's novel, There Was an Old Woman. While the book is entirely fictional, Efron does mention the crash. The book's heroine, Evie Ferrante, lived in Manhattan in 45 at the beginning of the book. She is working in the sub-basement of Empire State Building trying to retrieve the engine of a B-25 bomber that slammed into it. I'd never heard of this dude. Shout out Shat Radio for fucking putting me on. It's great things like this in history, man. This is a fucking bad day. This is a bad bitch, balled out, dude. Dog brain to the fullest, but God bless her. You know, this is the kind of things that make you think your worst day is fine, dude. The boss yelling at you, you're fucking late to work, you get in an accident, you're speeding, you know. I knew people crushed by construction equipment, which is terrible, but, like, this is a double dose of dicking by the universe. I thought this was a fun one. Let me know what you guys think. Betty Lou Oliver, Historic Bad Days, Guinness Book record holder, 75 stories of free falling in an elevator. I am Uncle Dust. This is Historic Ballers. If you enjoy this, check out Original Wiggas Live. Come hang out with us on every Wednesday, 9:40 Eastern Time PM on Focus CDS, where we cover a lot of topics, a lot of bits, and that type of, if you enjoy that type of comedy, man. This has been Historic Ballers, man, and Free Fallers this time. More shows to come. They're coming down the pipeline. Go and support at patreon.com. You guys are the producers. Put your money where your mouth is. I want to hear what you guys got to say. I love hearing different stories like this. I'd have never heard of this. This is outstanding, and there's millions of these. I love these. These are fucking great, dude. So, again, shout out Big Shat. I guess we'll do an outro, of course, because I am the producer of the show, obviously. Okay. So what do we got? We'll take us out. We'll take it. This is why the podcast goes nowhere unless you share it, because I can't stop my creative. If I want to put Tom Petty Free Falling and Little Troy Wanna Be a Baller, it's going to suffer. It is what it is. It fits the content of the character of the show. And who am I to deny that? Even if the show goes you know, so what? It gets 11 to 27 views. Fine. Whatevs. 4 years, 10 years. Put it up against any of them. I don't even know what that means. Salute everybody, man. Thanks for checking it. Let's take it out, Tommy. Take us out, Tommy boy.
The vampires walking through the valley, move west down Ventura Boulevard, and all the bad boys are standing in the shadow, and the good girls are home with broken hearts.